Luke chapter 2, I want to read to you the Christmas story this morning, and many of you know this very well, but for the sake of the occasion today, let's read the Christmas story, and I want to point out a few things and highlight a few points here, and then we'll be right on our way. Luke chapter number 2, if you will, and again, verse number 1. Thank you for being here, by the way, once again. Appreciate all of you. And when our world is so busy today, all about the gifts and all the materialism, I'm so glad we're in God's house, aren't you? Celebrating the true reason. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, what, while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things, these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. I want you to notice with me this morning just a few things in this great Christmas story that I hope will help you and encourage you in this season we're in. First of all, I want to ask you something that maybe somebody's never asked you before. But has there been a time in your life when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, we talk about that a lot, and it's kind of cliche sometimes when we say that. People say, yeah, I know, I've heard that. But has there been a time when you've actually done that? That's the most important part. That's the most important thing. And everyone in here, you that are believers, which I believe the vast majority are, you know that. You know the truth. You know the sincerity of that. That without Christ, without accepting Him as your personal Savior, we can't do anything else. And by the way, you know this, but it's not of works. It's not church attendance. It's not joining a church. It's not, we don't believe, it's doing works. It's not doing penance. None of that. It is simply heart belief, accepting what Jesus did for us. He came in this fashion, in this way, and He ultimately would go to a cross and pay the ultimate price for our sins. I'm so glad some of our children here, some of the young people here have recently accepted the Lord as their Savior. They have that tender heart. You remember what Jesus said? He said what? Unless you have the heart of a child, the faith of a child. That's not blind faith. That's a tender heart. They don't have a lot of contaminating things in there, do they? They have a pure heart. And that's what Jesus is saying. A few things here I want you to notice with me. But first of all, we find that serving God or following the Lord is not easy, to put it lightly, right? Not easy. You have, I said this a few weeks ago, this dear precious girl, she's about ready to pop, okay? She's about ready to give birth. And Joseph comes and says, honey, by the way, we're going to take a big trip. And they didn't have a carriage. She rode on the back of a donkey. Can you imagine bouncing down the road mile after mile after 9 months pregnant? No. Miserable. And finally they get there, and she goes, Joseph, it's time, so you that have children, you remember that, it's time. And father, sometimes we're in the business of being a little lackadaisical. Oh, okay, just a minute. No, it's time. One of our children, my wife was pregnant, we were traveling to the hospital, and we had a little distance to travel, and I came up to the stoplight, and I said, "Now, honey, should I turn and go ahead and get something to eat or go get the hotel room?" And she grabbed my arm. She said, "It's time." And I said, "Oh, okay." Man, I turned that car to the left, and we got right to the hospital. It's time. And she went, and it was a difficult trip. It was. And by the way, under this point, these were the least qualified people, weren't they? You think about it. They weren't qualified. They didn't have any special talents. We know Mary was a precious girl. She was holy. She was a righteous girl. That's why the Lord used her. Joseph, we read in Matthew chapter 1 that he was a just man. He was a good man, had a man of integrity and honesty, loved the Lord. But these were unqualified people. I want to say, if you're waiting to be qualified to serve God or get right with God, ain't going to happen, is it? God's looking for people, normal people, just like you, just like me, normal people. We're sinful people. We live in what's called the fallen state. We live in this world. It's a fallen world. Sin abounds, and we know that. You and I can go forward and be what we're supposed to be and serve God like we're supposed to, even though we are who we are. Now, that doesn't give us excuse to stay in sin. You know that. The Bible speaks of sanctification. The Bible speaks of separation. We should separate ourselves unto what God would have us to do. You know, Joseph and Mary didn't have to follow this. They didn't have to go and come to the register, if you will, and be taxed. They didn't have to do any of that. But Joseph, being a just man, said, "No, we're going to do what's right, even though it's painful. We're going to do what's right, even though it's uncomfortable." And again, I said this a few weeks ago, but Jesus comes and he says there in that great discourse of John 14, 15, and 16, he says, "I must go away, fellas." And the disciples said, "Well, why, Lord?" He says, "But I will leave you the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost." And you only need a comforter when you're uncomfortable. So you don't need a comforter when you're always comfortable. Well, everything's good, everything's grand. Do you ever find that to be true? When the bills are paid, there's money in the bank, the kids don't have sickness, the wife doesn't have cancer, grandma's doing pretty good. You don't tend to pray a lot, right? Until something comes and happens, and then you go, "Whoa, Lord, I need you now. I need you now, Lord. Would you come and help us and guide us?" And all beg the Lord. I've sat in many hospital rooms. I've sat in many waiting rooms. I've sat in many funeral homes where the family said, "Brother Tim, what do we do? Brother Tim, help us." And they suddenly get real spiritual. They get real prayerful. My friends, don't wait. Get right with God today. Get on board with the Word of God. Some of you have a Bible at home. I want to encourage you. Get in your Bibles. We have missionaries we support, and I say this often, so most of you that are here on a regular basis, pardon my repetition, but we have missionaries that right now have no Bible. They're translating this Bible into the dialect of the people they're reaching. Can you imagine that? Could you do that? I couldn't do that. I do not have that patience. Word for word, letter for letter, into a dialect. Some of them have to just come up with a word because they have no word for this word. Does that make sense? You know that. And I think about that. We have dear people that we are friends with in the ministry that are around the world, all around the world, in Africa and South America and Asia, that they are literally meeting under an old oak tree this morning. They have no church. They have no chairs. They have nothing. They walk to church. And oh, friends, we're so blessed. We're so blessed in America. We're so blessed here. Would you take it and apply it? Say, "God, you've given me the word in my own language. May I read it? May I study it?" Friends, you'll not know the truth without this precious book. But these two individuals, oh, it was difficult following the Lord. They were unqualified. They were the least qualified people. God's looking for individuals. I want you to notice, though, that God, secondly, always, always fulfills His Word. Always. See, that's why we can trust this book. Because what it says, we can follow it. What it promises, you can keep. He always fulfills His Word. Every single time. There's not one thing that He's ever promised that He won't fulfill. Now, there's coming things still yet unfulfilled, and you know that. The end times, we know, are coming. God is going to put an end to all of this. He's going to come back. He's going to take us home. And all of those things that we've been studying. But you think about, He says, "I'm going to fulfill what I've called you to do. I'm going to do exactly what I promised you to do." Listen, today's not the day, as I said earlier, to put it into neutral and coast. Today's not the day to go, "Okay, good message, great time, hallelujah, let's go home and have pot roast." No, today. Wait, hey, Lord, how and what do you want me to do? The great prophet of the Old Testament. He said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. How often have I said that? Not often. Lord, because why? I don't want to really hear what he has to say. He might tell me to do something I don't want to do. He might ask me to do something that I don't feel comfortable doing. And we think about it. He says, Lord, I'm going to lead and guide you. And what I say, what I promise, I'll fulfill it. And sure enough, he did. Now, Mary and Joseph said, well, gee, Lord, maybe not in this circumstance. Well, Lord, I mean, you think you could have at least given us a hotel room. Lord, you think, and I love this, that we find here that the Holy Son of God, this was not just a baby. This was, according to the Bible, God manifested in the flesh. This was the Lord, precious, holy Savior. And I've said it so many times, but why, if he was the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, come down, incarnate into this world, did we not roll out the red carpet for him? Uh-uh. Why did they not at least have a hotel room? I mean, at least give us a bed. At least she was on the floor in the dirt in a barn giving birth to our dear precious Savior. Well, the Lord did that for a reason. We find it that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those were rags that they took and wrapped that precious baby in. And later, we know, years later, when they go and they take him down off the cross, they take that precious body of our Savior who was beaten and bruised and battered. Couldn't even, the Bible says, identify him as a man. He was so beaten. And they wrapped that precious body in those same rags, those swaddling clothes, those death rags, and put him in that tomb. And I think about that. He was born to die. Jesus would later tell the people, he said, listen, the Son of Man has come, what? To seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. You know what a ransom is? I come to give my life a ransom for many. I'm taking the place. A ransom's put out for somebody that's been kidnapped or something, and they want money. You give us money, we'll give you your kid back. You give us money, we'll give you your wife back. And you may not pay a ransom for that, but you give me, we'll give them back. I told my wife, I said, if I ever get kidnapped, you know, and she interrupted me, said, oh, don't worry, I'll let them keep you. You know, don't worry. He says, I've come to give. I'm a ransom for many, and I'm here. I've taken your place. Let me remind you, friends, today, you and I deserve nothing but hell. Right? An eternity separated from God because of our sin. And Jesus said, I've come that I may take that place. And I paid the price on the cross for your sins. He's called the substitute. He's called our advocate. He's called our atonement. He's called our redemption. I love all those words. That's what he is. Now, again, I want to encourage you as you go forth today and into this week. Some of you will be around the dinner table with family and friends. Some you like, some you don't. Just bite your tongue. I've gotten really good at biting my tongue. It gets real sore, you know. Don't say that. You get around the table. Remember the reason. You have unsaved loved ones, family and friends that don't believe in God. Maybe they're atheistic. Maybe they're an agnostic. They just don't believe he even exists. They don't believe we can have a real relationship with him. Whatever it is, you represent Christ. You're a child of God. You do that. Stand for Christ. Don't start a fight or argument, but stand for the Lord and say, Lord, I want to stand for you. Can I say also under this point, just a few more, 15 more points and we'll be done. Amen? Okay, I'm kidding. He says this next. These two people did what God told them to do in obscurity. You would think that giving birth to the precious Son of God, they would be known, heralded. Oh, names in the paper. Nobody knew who they were. Nobody even knew she was giving birth. No one would have looked in a barn. Would you still serve God even if you weren't known? Would you still come to church even if nobody patted you on the back and shook your hand? Would you still get up and read your Bible in the morning even if somebody said, hey, good job, Dad. Thanks for carrying the family. Thanks for being a spiritual guide. Hey, thanks, Mom, for being spiritual. Thanks for not running out on us. Would you still serve God if you didn't even get any notice, any light on you? No. Many people want to serve the Lord if it benefits them. If they can get some glory, they want to do these things. Talking to a dear friend, and he's a pastor, and getting discouraged in the ministry. And one of the things that was brought up was, I just don't feel appreciated. And the conversation went a little bit that way. And I said, brother, we don't get appreciated. Nobody's going to appreciate that. No, get that in your heart right now. Settle that right now. No, people will appreciate you, sweet, dear people of the church. But realize, you're not doing this for yourself. You're not doing this for the limelight. You're doing it for Him. Now think about this. He says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to use you. Yes, Lord. And how are you going to use us? Well, no one's going to know about you. But I love this part. He brings some shepherds, verse 8. In the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. God brings people along to help us, doesn't He? These shepherds come and knock on the barn door. And obviously, Mary's not in a position there to have company over. Come on in. And there they are to help. What can we do? The Lord sent us here. What can we do? My friends, if you don't feel appreciated, if you don't feel like anyone cares, you become the initiator of that friendship, right? The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Do you have friends? All of us have friends. And then he goes on to say this, and we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What's he saying? Even if you could legitimately say, I have no friends, he says, he's your friend. And if you have him as a friend, that's all you need. You should be the initiator of that. Well, nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. Nobody ever says hi to me. You be the initiator. You and I as Christians ought to go the extra mile. You know that. Jesus taught us that. Go with them twain. Go with them back. Be a friend above and beyond his worldly friends. We ought to be there for others. But these people that come around, these shepherds that come in and help in any way they can, just being there, just being a support, and the angel shown round about them. And then let me say here lastly, because I must conclude, verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. And on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now remember this, ultimate peace on the earth is not going to come until Jesus returns. There'll be no peace. Right? No peace. You must understand that Jesus is peace incarnate, right? He's legitimate peace. He's truth, He's peace, He's many other things. But two of them that are emphasized in the Scripture, truth and peace. Pilate stood there in front of Jesus right before he sent him off to be executed. And Pilate, being an unstable man, he was right on the cusp of believing Jesus. And he comes out to the Jews and he says, I find no fault in this man. Why would you want to crucify your king? And they say, we have no king but Caesar. And you're no friend of Caesar's if you keep him alive. And Pilate, because he wanted to keep his job and because of this money, it's all about money in this world, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. You say all evil, all evil. You can trace evil all the way back to money. Every wicked dictator, every wicked government comes all the way back to money, doesn't it? Money. And Pilate said this famous quote, Jesus, what is truth? Why would he ask that? When truth was standing before him, Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, you know the rest of it, the truth, the life. That's a definite article. That's not a way, a truth, a life, the way. He's the only way. No man, no person cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. In a pluralistic world we live in today, you can believe in what you want to believe in, but I believe in what I believe. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He's the only way. And Pilate says, what is truth? I am truth. But also Jesus says, I am peace. The only peace that will come. Now, we'll have temporary peace in this world until the time comes when Jesus comes back. But listen, there is peace that we're looking for. Now, earth, he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I said this last week, but there will be no peace on earth until we begin to put God in His rightful place. Glory to God in the highest. Today, just by way of concluding here, do you know the Lord? Do you know Him? Are you serving Him? Are you faithful? Some of you that don't know the Lord or you're not a member of a church, I want to encourage you to get into your Bible and study this. We don't have a lot of time left, do we? We don't. Just recently, within the last few weeks, heard of two or three people that passed. And it always grieves your heart when you think about people passing. But we don't have a lot of time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We know that. Do you know him? Do you know where you're going to go? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity if you were to pass? Heaven forbid, but if you were to pass, do you know where you're going? Do you know? Do you know him as your Savior? You will have no true peace until you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for being here today. God bless all of you. I appreciate it. If you need to talk or you would like to talk or if I can help you in any way, I would love to sit down and talk with you, especially if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I would love to take a little bit of time, just not a lot of time, but some of your time, and show you how to be saved right out of this book.